This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Audrey, I can't believe it. We made it here. At the Tech Forge here in Lawrenceville with RIDC.
It's so great.
I can't wait to do this show.
Like we are. I love doing the show in this space.
We are literally in a building that's being constructed right now. I think it's just so much fun. We're literally seeing Pittsburgh's tech industry growing around us right now.
With the president and CEO of RIDC.
Absolutely, man. We have Don Smith with us today. Don, thanks for stopping by.
Well, welcome to the Tech Forge.
Yeah, thanks, man. For being here. This is so exciting. I mean, this is a building purposefully made for robotics companies.
It is. It's really interesting. Lawrenceville has become the epicenter of robotics in Pittsburgh and really in the country. And it all started with NREC, just down the street from here, the National Robotics Engineering Consortium. And RIDC is happy to be able to play a little bit of a part in supporting that with the Chocolate Factory and some of those early startups, with the Heppenstall Mill Building, which yep. Carnegie Robotics is in now.
This is like the next jewel in the crown.
Well, talk a little bit, Don, about RIDC so people can understand what your organization does to sort of spawn the next generation of brick and mortar.
Sure. I don't think a lot of people understand RIDC. Right. I mean, we are a private organization, so we're not a government agency. We don't get any government funding, but we are
what
a not-for-profit.
What fun is that?
Yeah. Well, it has its advantages.
Yes, it does.
So we can move quickly, and we're a private organization, but we have a public mission. So our mission is really to support job creation and tax base enhancement in the region, and because we're a not-for-profit, we have the ability to take bigger risks and to make some of those long-term bets. I view our role as doing the projects where the public benefit is bigger than the private benefit. So we can afford to invest the extra money in this site and this facility, clean up the brownfield.
You can do things that normally wouldn't happen.
Wouldn't happen.
Right.
Couldn't be done by a private developer.
It wouldn't be done by a private developer. There's no incentive to do that.
Exactly. That's why it's so exciting that this is a resource that we have here in the Pittsburgh area to make these things happen.
The vision here at Tech Forge, dive into that a little bit.
Sure. I mean, we've been in Lawrenceville for quite some time, since the 90s, when it was decidedly unhot.
When it was cold, right?
It was definitely unhot. People, I know even 8 years ago, I mean, I can remember talking about, you know, some stuff. Oh, yeah, we put some of our team over there, over in Lawrenceville. Not anymore.
But we always believed in the vision of Lawrenceville as a technology center. I mean, it's close to the university centers. It's close to downtown. And it's got great fabric. It's got great bones. It's a great community. And so leveraging the NREC investment and CMU's involvement down here, we set about trying to create spaces that would be accommodating to these startup and spin-out companies, companies like SeaGrid, which started in the chocolate factory and then grew.
Right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Red Zone Robotics is still in the chocolate factory. And we have Heavy Robotics just moved in recently. And we can start them out in small spaces there and then step them up as they grow. So they don't have to sign long-term leases and then they have to, you know, pay to get out of it. Right. They can just move to...
It gives them the space they need at the time they're at in the evolution of their company, and they can grow as they grow, and you're there with them locked up.
Absolutely. And our goal is to be their partner, their real estate partner.
Love it.
Not just their landlord, but to help connect them with great organizations like the Tech Council or Catalyst Connection or Innovation Works.
Definitely.
And to help plug them into the resources they need to be successful.
Very, very cool. I'm so glad you're here.
What is the space that we're sitting in right now going to be ready? So our listeners can understand what we're sitting in right now.
It's a little fancier than your usual location.
It is. It's a little fancier.
The Tech Forge is actually designed as four bays, so it can accommodate up to four separate companies. The first company to sign was Caterpillar. So Caterpillar's Automation Group, they'll actually be moving in 3 weeks. So on the other side of this fancy gravel part of the building that we're sitting in, Caterpillar is preparing to move in 3 weeks.
That's exciting.
So how tall
like
are these bays?
The back part of the bays are start at 18 feet and go up to 21 feet. So it's high bay space in the back. So it's purposely designed to accommodate whether they're working on trucks or harvesters or cars. They can bring them
in. They can fit it in here, right? Exactly.
They can get it in here. And then the front part of the building is set up as two-story office space. So they have a lot of natural light. They have some really high-tech office space. And then we have some amenities built into this building that we don't usually build into our industrial buildings.
Like what? Yeah, what is built in here?
Well, the two things I think to highlight most are, one is the sustainability and the energy efficiency of this building.
Huh.
This building will be a little over 30% more energy efficient than code. So we went above and beyond to create a really sustainable, low-energy footprint on this building. And then we have bike racks outside, and we have the capacity to add showers into all the tenant spaces. And we also have a roof deck. So we have a roof deck that is a green roof, so it both manages stormwater, but also gives the employees an opportunity to get outside.
Yeah.
Great view. You can see downtown. You can see the river. And you can get some fresh air while you're contemplating the next great innovation in automation or robotics.
And best of all, you're just two blocks away from from Butler Street. Right in the middle of Lawrenceville here, where you can literally access everything.
Yeah, I mean, because really when you think about it, buildings like this are often very remote.
They are.
They're very remote. You know, you drive somewhere and there's a series of buildings, and this is sort of blended into the neighborhood.
Well, I think we're so bullish on Lawrenceville because of the urbanization of innovation. I mean, so much of the innovation activity now is happening in close proximity to the talent, which is at the universities and in the cities. And so Lawrenceville is a great, authentic, walkable neighborhood. It has huge housing explosion. But where are all those people going to work? We're creating the job centers.
Right. Absolutely,
where folks can walk to work and create things.
I like to say that there's probably no place like this in the U.S. Do you know if I'm
Good point.
Making
I bet
that
you.
Up?
Yeah.
Or do you think that there are places where they've had sort of, you know, an eruption of, let's just say robotics? And have
well, I
this
think
kind
in robotics,
kind of...
I don't think there's any question Pittsburgh's at the top of the list. There are certainly some other places that are pretty good, but not on sort of the neighborhood kind of character and scale that we have here.
To have something, an industrial setting like this, like two blocks away from...
An amazing restaurant,
a restaurant. Like, to me, it's just such a cool combination.
It's a great combination, and the really great thing is when we were planning this building and we had to present it to the community, we had numerous community meetings, and we weren't really sure how old Lawrenceville was going to respond to this.
Right.
Totally. They have been our most enthusiastic fans. They're so appreciative of bringing the jobs
Lawrenceville
back to the neighborhood. And so they remember when this was a mill site, and they're looking forward to this being another big job site
in their neighborhood. It becomes additive to the neighborhood and the overall growth of what's happening here in Pittsburgh in general, as far as it is.
It's really great.
Absolutely.
So we got a couple minutes. What other properties is RIDC all those? I know you have stuff all over the place, from the Almano site to stuff in the north.
We do. You can drive an hour in any direction from Pittsburgh, and that's our territory. So we go as far north as Lawrence County. We have a park up in Neshannock. We go down to Greene County, and then we go east to Indiana County. We have a number of properties throughout there. The largest, of course, is the RIDC Westmoreland site, the former Sony plant out in Westmoreland County, 2.8 million square feet.
You could have a drag race in that building.
It is an enormous building. It has over 2 million square feet of roof, so we've learned the hard way. It's expensive to maintain.
Right.
Oh, goodness.
But we have some great companies in there, like DNP and Siemens is moving in there now. But we have everything from that down to, in the city of Pittsburgh, we have the Lawrenceville site. We have the Almano site, which we're very excited about. We've signed CMU to be an anchor tenant in that facility with their Advanced Robotics Manufacturing Center. And we're actively talking to other prospects about making it happen there as well.
So fantastic. That's why I'm so pumped to be here. I'm so glad that RIDC is working with us on this show and allowing us to interview people right here in the middle
of the neighborhood.
In the tech
people
forge.
Are in the neighborhood.
Absolutely. If you want to learn more about RIDC, just the old website, RIDC.org.
www.RIDC.org.
Just that simple.
Awesome.
Don Smith, you're making things happen here, man.
We're doing our best.
That's all I can say. I'm just so pumped to be here. I'm just remind everyone to learn more about the Tech Council. I'm going to pghtech.org because our members are what's happening in Pittsburgh's tech sector. And we're just so glad you're spending the evening with us. We're coming back with more action right here from the Tech Forge. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for keeping your dial tuned to Tech Vibe Radio tonight here on KDKA. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
And Audrey, we are smack dab in the middle of the Tech Forge here in Lawrenceville tonight. Come on.
I love being here.
I know. So excuse any echoes or crazy construction sounds because we're in the middle of an active site.
Our desk is a piece of plywood.
It is.
Sitting on two
workhorses. Yeah. And Audrey, I'm sitting on a 5-gallon paint bucket.
And I'm sitting on a folding chair.
And Don Smith is on a folding chair.
On gravel.
It's old school.
We
and
like it,
the
man.
Light is coming in, and I love this.
Absolutely.
Maybe don't finish this building.
Keep it like this. Keep it a little roughed up.
It is always fun to be on construction sites when you see things in progress and you can think about the potential of what's to come.
There is really good thinking going on here.
Really turned out to be a great success for us.
Without a doubt.
It was a departure for us when we decided to take this building on.
I remember.
It's much more expensive than our typical flex building.
How long ago was the seeds of the Tech Forge kind of like thrown out there? It's been a couple of years, 3 years in making?
I mean, the hardcore plans, the concrete plans, were really only about a year and a half.
Yeah, oh, my.
Wow. In the making.
Okay.
So it's moved pretty quickly. Once we decided to pull the trigger, it's gone pretty quickly.
Very, very cool. And so just reminding everyone, we're talking to Don Smith from RIDC, who's hosting us here tonight, because we are just really, like I said, at the epicenter of so many great things happening here in Pittsburgh, and how RIDC has been a part of many of these successful companies, the Ubers, the Carnegie Robotics.
Right.
So we can do a little walk down memory lane, and how RIDC has really been fundamental.
Right.
Yeah, I think we have. I mean, we really play in that niche where we're willing to take some risks on early stage companies and put them into some space, even though they don't necessarily have, you know, the credit worthiness that established companies have. And we look for opportunities to leverage other great things going on in the region.
Right, right, right.
One of those great things clearly has been the National Robotics Engineering Consortium and CMU here in Lawrenceville. And that's really the story of our properties here in Lawrenceville, is how we leveraged Carnegie Mellon and all the great things coming out of that.
Yeah, and how many properties in Lawrenceville, again, do you have?
We have three buildings currently.
Okay.
So we have the Chocolate Factory, which is about 70,000 square feet.
One suite building, yes.
It is. One suite building.
Thank you. I couldn't resist.
He's your admin.
The Heppenstall Mill Building, the blue building that Carnegie Robotics is in.
Yep.
And now we have the brand new Tech Forge.
Yep.
Here where we have two tenants signed already, even though it's not completed, and still one bay available, great space for companies.
Still one bay available.
One bay available.
Oh, you're going to fill that pretty quickly, I do believe.
How many square feet?
About 17,000.
Excellent.
But we have three or four prospects looking at it. So it's been phenomenally successful, really well received in the market. But I think this is the outgrowth of a long-term strategy.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at something like Carnegie Robotics, when it spun out of NREC as a formal company, you know, we invested heavily with them to put them in the blue building, in the Heppenstall Mill building. They're doing great. But it was a group from that Carnegie Robotics team that spun off to form Uber's Advanced Technology Center.
I love it.
And we incubated them in the Chocolate Factory.
Yep.
And they grew so explosively and so fast that they needed to go out and get additional space. And we continue to work with them on a number of their properties. But then members of their team have left and gone on to be part of Argo and some of the other teams. So it really is a story of these little seedlings that turn into some really big growing saplings that are turning into big trees.
RIDC has been lucky to have someone like you at the helm, because your background is probably not been the legacy of such an organization. So your view of the world is sort of mapped into technology-based economic development.
It is. I mean, I was lucky enough to spend so much time at the universities at Carnegie Mellon and Pitt, and have a great and deep affinity both for the institutions, but also for the technology companies that come out of that.
Absolutely.
And had the opportunity to work with a lot of great faculty who have started companies, and a lot of the great entrepreneurs who have made those technologies into products. So at RIDC, with myself, with Tim White, with others on our team who have that technology background, we love the tech companies. Mm-hmm. We love getting in there, understanding them, and helping them get the kind of space they need.
Your passion shows with those folks. It really does.
And we love working with them, and they're doing great things for
our
region.
You're taking a bet on them, too. While venture capitalists take bets on them as well, you're taking a bet on them.
Our payoff's a little different. Our payoff's great jobs and enhancement of the tax base, not financial wealth.
Exactly.
But we love betting on these companies because we really do believe they're the future of our region and the future of our economy. And we're happy to work with them. Think about
Uber alone. How the fact that, you know, with the advanced technology group here and them having space in Pittsburgh, like, that's where everyone in the world's coming to. If they're going to be engineering at Uber, they're coming to Pittsburgh.
Well, and, you know, by some reports, they're up over 1,000 jobs, not drivers, jobs,
mm-hmm. right,
in less than 3 years. So let's list the companies that have created 1,000 jobs in 3 years.
Exactly. I can't.
Uber.
Zero. Yeah.
That's
Uber.
It.
I can't. UPMC.
Maybe. But
not in one concentration.
Exactly. Right?
And some of the others are on a growth trajectory that have the same potential.
Right.
And so we're really seeing the fruits of, you know, this all started in the 80s with Tom Murn at Westinghouse investing in the Robotics Institute at CMU.
I know. People think it's an overnight success.
Nope.
It's
like this is the end of a very long pipeline.
A three-decade grind. Absolutely.
So there's also property called Amano.
Yes.
Just down the river.
And let's talk about that. What's going on there these days, and how many acres? And
Hazelwood and the Amano site is really an incredible opportunity for the region. It's 178 acres on the river, about a mile and a half of riverfront, in the Hazelwood neighborhood. So it's just over the hill through the Panther Hollow from Carnegie Mellon and Pitt.
It's like that last chunk of land.
It is. It's the last big site. It's the biggest site available still in the city of Pittsburgh. So close to the universities, close to downtown. It's owned by a partnership led by the foundations. They have this really visionary plan for an extremely sustainable, green, walkable, mixed-use neighborhood on that site. And RIDC is fortunate enough to have acquired the first piece of that, the mill building and the land around it. And we're moving forward with the Mill 19 building down there with the CMU as our anchor tenant. And again, we're focusing on attracting those technology companies. They want to be close to the university and part of the Pittsburgh story.
But the landscape there is amazing. There's like a new roadway you've put through there. And this is like the roadway of the future going on here.
It is Pittsburgh's first complete street. So this is a mile and a half long, Signature Boulevard, and it has your drive lanes, your parking, your bicycle lanes, your pedestrian lanes, your stormwater management, all in the right of way. And all of the infrastructure is under that road as well, including telecom and the modern infrastructure, as well as water and sewer and stormwater.
So the bones are there to start building stuff around.
The structure is there, and it's time to start hanging things on that structure.
Right.
And with CMU and the ARM Institute, we really have just the absolute perfect first mover to make that site a reality.
And it's still going to be mixed use, right?
It is going to be mixed use. So it was very important to have that kind of, the same kind of thing we're seeing here in Lawrenceville, that authenticity of live, work, play, dine.
You got to go eat somewhere, you got to go shop somewhere.
Right. Over in Hazelwood. And I think it's also important to note that there's a real strong effort to connect the site to the community, to make sure that all the streets that can be connected up to the local street grid will be.
So it's not like a contained.
Yeah. There's not a fence around it by any stretch.
We like to say we're doing it with Hazelwood, not in Hazelwood.
Ah, very interesting. I like that.
And so that partnership with the community has really been very successful and an important part of the vision for the site.
Wow. This is just such huge work, and it's literally laying the foundations for where Pittsburgh's going to be 20 years from now, and you're making that happen now.
I can see it.
Yeah.
I can see it. So that's what's exciting.
We like to think that, you know, in the same way that RIDC Park and Thornhill and Park West were part of the 60s and 70s renaissance of Pittsburgh, that, you know, Lawrenceville and Almano and Westmoreland and some of the Innovation Ridge and other things that we have going on are really laying the groundwork for the next Pittsburgh renaissance.
Oh, without a doubt.
They certainly are. So we're talking talking to Don Smith. Yep. Did a deep dive. He's president and CEO of RIDC. You can check out RIDC.org, and you can see all the work that they've been up to for over
60 years.
Whoa, 60 years. That's amazing.
And as a private company, even though their mission is clearly community-based and building capacity, both literally and figuratively.
For sure. And Don, thanks for letting us hang out in your space tonight.
Thanks for being here. We've been working with the Tech Council since its inception.
Absolutely, man.
So continue to partner with you guys on doing great things.
We love it, man. Thank you. So much fun being here. We're coming back with more Tech Vibe Radio right from the Tech Forge in the heart of Lawrenceville. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Rousseau.
Learn more about the Pittsburgh Technology Council by going to pghtech.org. And if you feel like it, mosey on over to Twitter at pghtech. We're always tweeting fun stuff going on here in Pittsburgh. We'll be right back after this quick break. Welcome back, everybody. You are dialed into Tech Vibe Radio, and we are taking the show on the road, Audrey. We go any place we can take a show to get the stories.
We're on gravel right now.
We are on gravel, and we're digging it because we are hanging out at RIDC and their new Tech Forge building in Lawrenceville.
It's massive. It's impressive.
Lawrenceville is one of these neighborhoods where it goes without saying, I just can't even describe it anymore. So much good stuff going on here. So much growth in a positive way, and having things like this anchoring what is the future of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I mean, this whole building was put here because of the robotics industry just going crazy here in Pittsburgh.
And we're going to get a chance to talk to the person at the helm of RIDC at some point.
Yes, absolutely.
So, but right now, we have someone in the house that we're going to do a little bit of a deep dive with.
Exactly.
And that is Jeff Fullerton. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
So, you work for a little company called Uber, right?
Yeah. We're a small concern.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Most people.
Really
most
small.
Most people in the United States, perhaps the world, have heard of us.
Absolutely. Mm. And you are... In a leadership role in operations?
I'm in operations, business development, get into a lot of adaptive reuse, or even new vision projects, much like the one we're sitting in right now. This, in my world, is nice.
It's nice in here, right?
It's move-in ready.
It's move-in ready, yes.
Yeah.
Ready.
It's not shovel-ready, it's move-in ready.
It's move-in ready.
Like
he's ready to go.
Exactly. In the world of roboticists, we would move in and start operation tomorrow. We have power and sunlight. We're good to
power,
go.
Sunlight.
Power and sunlight, and you don't need heat, so it's perfect.
And we got a nice plywood table.
Yeah, I love it. And again, classic adaptive reuse.
Yes.
Classic.
Yeah. That's what we're about here.
That's our middle name.
At Tech Vibe Radio, yes, adaptive reuse is what we do.
And so give us a little bit about your background, and then we're going to jump in.
Who is Jeff Fullerton?
Oh, please.
Who is the man?
We want to know. We want to know.
Interesting question. So... you know, prior to a number of interesting cataclysmic things, I worked for big defense contractors. I worked also in steel mill automation and have done everything from, you know, automotive processing to nuclear propulsion on ships to long-wave infrared thermal imaging technology.
Okay, Audrey, I'm just feeling like I'm not very smart anymore.
That's okay.
You're not. That's okay.
I know.
And then through a series of events, found myself in Pittsburgh talking to some folks about some really cool ideas they had for manufacturing of robotics.
You need to write a book.
It's been said.
Yes.
I also need to cut my grass. So there's many things I need to do. Can't seem to keep up with it all. But, so in a nutshell, you know, the elevator, you know, between floor one and three, that's kind of the speech, you know, who I am.
Right.
But I found myself in Pittsburgh in 2009 in just more of a curiosity, investigating an opportunity that was presented to me. And I had no intention of leaving my former career until I had met a few folks here at the Carnegie Mellon National Robotics Engineering Center who were absolutely on fire with what they were doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it had a revival.
Right. Yeah. So this is 2009.
Revival fever pitch.
Almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Holy heck, time's going by quick.
Thanks. I did not have gray hair then. But it was very interesting because, you know, when you're in the company of people where the thing that they are doing and the passion that they are chasing is contagious. And I found myself in their company talking about some things and really seeing Pittsburgh in potential renovation of the city and the economy in a different light. I was really, really, really enthused that this was going on in the city. And so through another series of events, I found myself, with a group of folks that were interested in getting this little company called Carnegie Robotics off the ground. Mm-hmm. And I sort of had one of those why not moments in life. And
Were you coming from before that to come to Pittsburgh?
I worked for a defense contractor called DRS Technologies. They're based out of Parsippany, New Jersey.
Okay.
And we have 41 offices across the U.S. at that time. We were roughly a $3 billion concern.
Okay.
Wow.
And been recently picked up by a European defense contractor. So we were on par, but not at the level of a Boeing or Lockheed, but
right.
we were in that still that same venue.
That same,
company.
Same venue.
Right.
And Pittsburgh was not really on your radar until this.
It really wasn't. I had a happy career life in Armstrong County at the North Point Industrial Park. I was part of a couple companies, and them being the last up there setting up a business,
right.
new technology endeavors with the Penn State Electro-Optics Center, and had sort of a crazy career. You know, I was opening doors, like, wow, that's neat, I'll go do that. And so I found myself here just through some connectivity, some interesting connectivity, and the next thing you know, I had seen passion for what people do. You know,
right.
you see passion in sports, you
right.
see passion in, people building homes and things. But when it came to people's careers and wanting to take things to the next level, I just did not experience that passion until I had spent time with the National Robotics Engineering Center. And I had really come at that very sort of standoffish. I thought, okay, I'm going to come down, I'm going to talk to you. But once I got there, I was infected with it. And then, like I said, one thing led to another, and off we went. So, yeah, that's Jeff Fullerton, floors 3 through.
I like
so that's
that.
Actually, there's,
that's a cool
there's,
story.
There's a romantic side to some of this, right?
There really is.
Yeah.
There really is. There was an infection that, I think we all, career-wise, want to get to at some point.
Right.
And I had shared that with many of my friends. And I had a fellow I had lunch with. I used to work. He used to work for me. And he said, "Wow!" He said, "I haven't seen you this happy." And I said, "Really?" I said,
"Really?"
I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I know you're working. Sometimes 7 days a week, 14 hours a day." I said, "I know, but it doesn't feel like it. It feels like it's a snippet in time.
Yeah.
It feels like we've landed.
Wow.
I've landed
so
in this,
cool.
Like the kid that lands in the room full of Legos.
Nah.
So, anyways.
But doesn't get hurt when he hits all those sharp pieces.
Exactly. Yeah. So we were, I was fortunate to be with some like-minded individuals that were.
And then you moved over to a new company.
Yeah. So, when Uber came to town and was looking for their opportunity, there were several of us associated with the National Robotics Engineering
right,
Center,
right, sure.
Carnegie Robotics at that time,
right.
that had an opportunity to take what we did well in Pittsburgh, or at least
right.
what we thought we did well, others
right.
for sure.
we did well,
right.
and do that for another organization. And so, again, it's one of those, I can press the reset button on what I've been doing and do it again, and that was...
And so you were one of the first people in when Uber set up its operations here
in
Pittsburgh,
correct?
Right?
I was, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's so exciting. And that was back in 2015, right?
Yes, that was early 2015, yeah. That was in January the team was officially pulled together. And
you could write a whole book just on that.
Yeah, that was interesting. It was a lot of fun. And, my role in that was, everything from, new site procurement, development, really thinking out of the box, having worked with technologists and being an engineer myself, understanding what these folks need to get their job done, what barriers need to be broken down. I would take a look at the things that they need through their eyes, walk into a site like this, find ownership or leadership of these sites. In some cases, we would work out temporary deals, like, hey, we only need your site for 3 months, which is odd.
Right.
If you're a landlord, you don't
right.
want to get a 3 month
yeah.
deal. But, we would do that. But it became a series of stepping stones to really where we are in Pittsburgh and establishing.
Absolutely. So what are your thoughts on buildings like this at the Tech Forge that we are now making buildings in Pittsburgh just for robotics companies?
I think it's really cool. And I think if you went back to 2009 and earlier, those of us that were at the beginning of this, our vision was probably very limited. Often that's just because we had our nose to the grindstone and we were mm-hmm. just looking one milestone ahead.
Right.
One milestone
for sure.
Ahead.
Right.
as I worked here in Lawrenceville and looked around, Many people that I knew, even folks that were in the area, was like, why would you do anything in this area? You know, there were you know, issues with the local economy. There were issues with the housing. They're just like, why wouldn't you go to a Wexford? Why wouldn't you go to a Westmoreland County? Why wouldn't you go build something new? But we really were infected with a lot of the vision that remained here. I mean, if you look at an old factory like the Hippensall Steel Building, and right, you understand the history, you look at a building like the Crucible Building on 30th right, and Smallman, and you understand that, you know, at one time that housed the Black Diamond Ironworks, and you realize the people
sure,
that had come
yeah,
before. And
there's
I tend to be a little
there,
bit of Pittsburgh nostalgia, and I can easily see those shadows of those folks, and I am one of those people. And I'm like,
third book right
yeah,
there. Third
yeah, what
book
would, right, I mean, what would they think? I mean, what would you think? I mean, I thought,
yeah, what would
someday,
they be thinking?
What
right,
would people
yeah,
think? What would people think 100 years from now? From right, what were these robotics guys doing, you know? So,
but you're not from Pittsburgh, right?
I grew up in Armstrong County.
Oh, did you? Okay.
But
you're
was,
a Pittsburgher.
But I was born in Oakland.
Okay.
I'm like my mother.
You're
was,
definitely
I'm
a Pittsburgher.
I'm a McGee baby. So,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
me too. Me
yeah,
too.
Yeah. So in that rarefied era, but my father was a construction worker in the city, and my mother was a nurse. So I mean, this is where I essentially grew
yeah,
up.
This
we came here to
up,
shop.
I love it.
Came
I love
eat,
it.
You know, this was, you know, this was our place.
For sure. Well, I tell you what, we have so much more to talk about. We are talking to Jeff Fullerton from Uber, and we're taking a quick break, but we're coming back. We want to learn more about what Uber is up to here in Pittsburgh, and really, it's such a great story, and I can't wait for us
it's
to
really
kind of
great,
dive
it
into
is,
that. And I'm just so happy to be here in RIDC's Tech Forge, telling these stories.
Yeah,
come
is,
on, doesn't get any better
great
than this.
Being here.
I love it. I think it's just fantastic. Learn more about RIDC, go to RIDC.org and check them out. And there's so many properties all over the Pittsburgh area for all types of businesses,
right,
including robotics companies, which we think is just so much fun. Then go over to pghtech.org, our website, and learn about great companies like Uber and like the Carnegie Robotics of the world and what they're doing here in Pittsburgh. And then
Uber,
go over to Twitter, pghtech, and follow us there. Anyhow, so many ways to keep pace with what's happening here in Pittsburgh. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo
from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. And we'll be right back after this quick break with a heck of a lot more with Uber and robotics and all the great stuff happening here in Pittsburgh. It's absolutely true. You cannot deny it. You're listening to Tech Vibe Radio right now, making wise use of your time on a Friday night, hanging out with us and all the great men and women that are making it happen. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
We are from the Pittsburgh Technology Council, bringing you this show from the Tech Forge in the heart of Lawrenceville on 47th Street,
mm-hmm,
right here talking to one of the best interviews we've had, Audrey. You know, talk about very dynamic person, working for one of Pittsburgh's coolest companies and one of Pittsburgh's
He's
coolest parts
his third
of town.
Book and he doesn't even know
writing
it yet.
His third book, doesn't even know it yet. We're talking to Jeff Fullerton here from Uber, hanging out with us,
hey,
spending
Jeff,
some time.
Thanks for
so thanks
staying
for
with us here.
Being with us, yeah.
Thanks for having me.
No, it's great. This whole mystique about Uber, just to, you know, preface it, is that there's two pieces. So if you're listening, there's two pieces of this Uber world. There's people who actually drive, you know, and like the Uber app, and you meet the drivers and so many interesting people, and you can get wherever you want, whenever you want it.
We like that, yes.
And then there's also this ATC, this Advanced Technology Center, that's sitting right in the backbone of Lawrenceville, and that's really what we're going to talk about today.
All the heavy-duty engineering and crazy work
right,
that happens to make
what,
this stuff happen.
What life yeah, they've brought to a piece of the world that we probably never imagined
exactly,
in Pittsburgh. If someone would have said, working on autonomous vehicles in Pittsburgh, people would have said Detroit, maybe, right?
Right?
But Pittsburgh, we don't even have grids. We don't even, you know, we don't know how to make left turns. We don't know how to do all these
hey,
things.
Hey, the Pittsburgh left is very effective.
Yeah.
and actually, what I do know is the self-driving Ubers know the Pittsburgh left. I've
They're
pulled
learning,
it a few times to test it.
They're learning. So here we have Jeff, who's leading operations and business development here in Lawrenceville. So thanks for staying with us and doing a little bit more of a deeper
no
dive.
I enjoy it.
And so, you know, what can you tell us about what's happening on the technology side?
Well, I can tell you, you know, we have evolved, or perhaps better evolved, we have grown extremely fast in Pittsburgh. I think that that's probably the one thing that if you have to name the top five things that have had impact on your career and things that you've had to learn to manage
right. And
understand and adapt to, it is the rapid growth. This problem has been, and I say the problem of answering, vehicle autonomy has been tackled by a core group of technologists here in Pittsburgh with an exceptional amount of passion and devotion. And in the tackling of this problem since 2015, they were really great at doing a global search and finding other like-minded individuals.
Yeah.
And I think oftentimes, as technologists, engineers, whatever your field is, you can work in your career pocket for a
right.
long time. But when you realize you need to expand and grow rapidly, you have to reach out. And so this team here in Pittsburgh, in conjunction with our corporate resources out of San Francisco, started pulling in people from all parts of the globe, all sorts of experiences, whether they were from the automotive world, the legal world, finance, business, and that collection of folks have come to Pittsburgh in one shape or the other. In most cases, they have moved here. And I think that is probably the neatest thing, the coolest thing that I have experienced in my career is meeting these people from all walks of life and from all areas of the country. Because I think too often, and Pittsburgh is probably a great example of this. I mean, we as Pittsburghers growing up here could be very myopic when it came to steel. Nobody else can produce steel but us, right? Now, we were really good at it.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't that true?
It was true. Pittsburgh, that's right. Nobody else did it better. As you travel the globe and we're in a global economy, a global society, you realize that there are phenomenal people from Toronto, from Canada, from Asia, from Korea.
Which is why I'm so excited about it.
Because like a wake-up call,
yeah,
right?
It is. I find it so exciting because now we're having folks from around the world seeing Pittsburgh as the place to be to do this type of work.
Exactly.
So people from Toronto would want to come here from wherever.
And the neat thing about us as Pittsburghers, right, and I don't think we realized we were doing it all along, is we've created a really great society, a really great cultural set of values that really weren't edgy, over the top. They were normal. They were acceptable. They were peaceful. From your school systems, your communities. I hear this over and over again from our employees. And I just love sending my kids to, some school in the North Hills.
So that means they're telling that to their friends that are around the world, right?
Exactly. And they're saying, wow, I moved here from, let's say, San Francisco. I'll pick on San Francisco because we know that's really expensive.
Right.
And oh my gosh, it's unbelievable. I don't have to send my kids to private school.
Well, the same pressures, too.
It's amazing what $1 million to buy for a house in Pittsburgh, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I know. I've been driving down to one of our RIDC properties in New Stanton and had some San Francisco people with us, and they were just looking on the turnpike, and they're like, wow. And they're looking at these nice homes, and they're nicely situated on about four or five acres. And they said, that's really nice. And I said, what are you thinking that? What are you thinking? I said, I don't know. That's probably $10 million. And I said,
you can buy the whole block for $10 million.
I said, I think you could probably easily sneak into that for probably in the $500,000 to $800,000 range. Are you kidding? And so, I mean, that's an example, but that happens every day. And I think here, that's one of the biggest impacts and the neat thing when you talk about what Uber has done and brought to the area. It has brought a group of people that normally wouldn't look at Pittsburgh as a destination
right.
choice. And I've seen a lot of value in that. And as they grow, as they help us grow Uber, the Autonomous Technology Center, they also are helping us grow the greater economy and the community. And they're bringing their children, and they're bringing
exactly.
family.
Right. Yep.
And their kids are gonna go to our schools, and they're going to
right.
Have this tremendous sense of community that Pittsburgh, I think, has really been welcoming. I've yet to hear somebody say, I moved into a neighborhood and I hate my neighbors.
That would be awful. I don't want that.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
We can't have that happen.
Like, this is really cool. I really have made really quick to make good friends. So, if anything else comes out of this, and I think that we're all social beings at our core, the social component that we've had an impact on has been, we as Uber has been really strong, because we didn't have a growth curve that was like, we're going to grow a couple hundred people. And we grew as many people as we could fit buildings into, which
right.
is really what comes back to my responsibility is a site like this. How fast can you make this inhabitable, Jeff? Yeah. Can you get office trailers in there? Can you get air conditioning in there?
We'll make it happen.
I'm in there by the end of the week. What can you and can you not do in a short amount of time? And that part of my job, which allows our technologists to be accommodated, has been really important. So,
and tell us a little bit about some of these folks that are working here. I mean, just because
like what kind of background
they just really care about what they're doing, because they're working on some of the hardest problems to solve, and that's what they want to do. They want to solve problems.
A lot of the younger folks, as you can imagine, I mean, they've not a lot of experience, you know, in an environment like this, but many of them came out of very prestigious universities like Carnegie Mellon. I think that's the easiest one, you know, locally. But they're from all around them, and many of them have worked on robotics projects. Robotics are the new thing that everybody, a lot of young people, want to work on. And so they've created resumes long in advance of receiving their undergrad or their graduate degree, and they want to do this. They want to take this to the next level. And I think for them, you know, vehicles and transportation is one of these sort of legacy things that we do in the world, right? We all get behind a car. It has a gas pedal and a brake and a transmission, and that's been happening since the 20s, right? Those are pretty standard things. And these guys are looking at everything through a different set of eyes. They, you know, as we all look at our mobile devices, right? That took a different set of eyes. Like, you know, who thought in the 80s you'd have a computer in your hand every day? So they look at transportation the same way. And those are the type of people that are in the city. And I think it's really neat because it has a unique contrast to where we've been, where we've been as a community.
Oh, totally.
And they see the possibilities.
You know, socioeconomic group of folks here in the western Pennsylvania to where we're going to. And, you know, they're going to be, they're the new steelworkers, you know, if you will. They're
gonna the new steelworkers.
Okay, you know. He's coming out with some good quotes
I'm
here.
I'm telling you, man.
He really is.
I can't say, you know, because honestly, let's face it, without any of these things, none of these things are possible without the people. And we, at the core, I think did a really great job of attracting a lot of interesting, excited and passionate talent into the city to make the product and continue to evolve the product that you see on the road every day.
I think also a point, and we got about a couple minutes left.
Sure.
A point needs to be made that Uber came here because of the innovation and the talent available. They didn't come here because of tax breaks.
Right.
They didn't come here because someone said, hey, you know.
That's a really good
point.
They
know that they chose Pittsburgh because this is where they could actually get their problem solved.
Right. Yes, exactly. That was really a great strength organizationally. As we attacked problems like space and location and what makes sense, was that I my cheesy phrase to a lot of folks we work with is that we're cash and carry, meaning
interesting. Yeah,
I don't have to. Thankfully, you know, based on the how well the company's done over the years, I don't have to go out and look for a grant or a loan or deal with bankers. If you can give me a permit today to build,
you're building.
I can build, and I can see that contractor is paid every 30 days, and it will stimulate that economy.
I love it,
and
man.
So that was important, and our friends at the city of Pittsburgh, in the city of Pittsburgh, and the planning office, the zoning office, Department of Public Works, Pittsburgh Water and Sewer. They were really quick to recognize that we were really wanting to do things very quick.
Right.
And I remember attending many follow-up meetings. I'm like, well, you weren't kidding. We gave you a permit. You had shovels in the ground.
And, that's really great.
And I think that just speaks to the greater organization, not just the technology group, but the rideshare group. You know, we just push the envelope on what we can get done and get done.
So can I ask you a personal question? Do you own a car?
Yes.
Does it drive itself?
You own several cars.
Yes, I would. I love to drive. And that's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
Most of our core technologists, the guys that started here with Carnegie Mellon National Robotics and Engineering Center, they love to drive.
Right.
Driving is their passion.
Right.
They're driving passionate cars. You know,
so what kind of car do you drive? What's your favorite car?
My favorite car? I have two that are my favorites.
Okay.
Probably is my large you know, Ford pickup truck that I tow with.
Okay.
But I also have an Audi A6.
All right.
And
I got an A4.
Yeah.
So come on.
Yeah, I love the way that hugs the road. That's just a really
okay,
nice.
Okay, so
nice
that's vehicle. Always interesting
yeah.
to me.
I
always ask the guys from ATC that question. So yeah. we are here wrapping up a deep dive with Jeff Fullerton of
yeah.
Uber, and what a treat it's been sitting here at TechForge in Lawrenceville, right yep. on the gravel.
Love
and
it, man.
Appreciate all of this.
It's the way every development should be.
We are, thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
We look and toast to the future
yep.
because we know the future is just a few weeks away into something new.
That's all.
But
exactly
thanks for
right, yeah.
your passion and your leadership.
You're welcome.
And making Uber do what we can do here in Pittsburgh, and makes it just, it's so much more than just one company. It really goes
it
into
matters.
Everything here, and it matters.
Yeah, it's a lot of
yeah.
fun. It's a lot of fun. Honored to be here, guys.
We're glad. We're glad that you stopped by to be part of this Tech Vibe Radio. Our TNT coming from right here at the Tech Forge in Lawrenceville, RIDC making it happen for us. Check them out. They're one of those foundational organizations that's making Pittsburgh happen with the space they afford people to get into. Great, great stuff. Anyhow, another show under our belt.
Great.
We'll be back next Friday with more of these great stories. This is Jonathan Kirstein.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Learn more about us at pghtech.org, and then have yourself an awesome weekend, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.